welcome to the Becoming Superhuman podcast. My name is Dr. Nirvani Umadat. I've spent years working as a dentist and researcher. I've traveled all over the world, and I've built a business that has allowed me to help thousands of people. I've studied conventional, ancient, and spiritual sciences. And through these studies, I've realized merging science with spirituality is necessary for us to understand who we are. I'm here to help you up-level your life, mind, body, soul, and become your own version of superhuman. Welcome to today's episode of Becoming Superhuman. I am so excited and honored today to welcome my guest, Dorte Bredgaard, who is a now retired dentist from Denmark, who spent 25 years practicing conventional dentistry in Denmark before she decided to pivot out of the dental world and become an intrepid pioneer towards an understanding and a practice of dentistry that is almost unheard of even today, 15 years after she began this journey. She now uses energetic connectivity, emotional intuitive ability, and a sense for what's really going on holistically within not only a person's physical body, but within their life, to lead them to a place of dental disease and ultimately guide them back to dental health. Dorte has written 4 books. Her second book, Teeth Don't Lie, helps elucidate how our teeth are always talking to us, and it's really a matter of whether we're listening. She's recently written a book, Dental Consciousness, that will soon be translated into English. And over the last 15 years, she's mapped the emotional sense of what's going on in each tooth within the body when disease presents. Things like cavities, periodontal disease, dental recession. All of these are given a logical, rational reason for wreaking havoc in people's mouths by the conventional dental wisdom of today. However, Dorte is tapping into something deep, something primal, and something resonant for those of us who are looking to not only optimize, but really weave energy medicine and the metaphysical into our physical reality, because these two things cannot be separated. And really, to obtain optimal health, the intersection of these two things can't be ignored. Please join me in welcoming Dorte Bredgaard as we dive into this conversation on emotional causes of dental disease, how we can actually get to the root cause of what causes problems in our mouth, and as I said, how to listen to what your teeth are telling you. So I'm here with Dorte Bredgaard, who was a dentist in Denmark for 25 years before she realized that there were aspects of dentistry and dental health and health in general that weren't being addressed by conventional dentistry at the time. And Dorte, I know you've been on a very unique path in your career, and now 40 years almost into your time as a dentist and into the dental industry, I think you've just really started to open up aspects of dentistry and understanding the health of our mouth, the health of our body, that people are now looking for and craving, because they're realizing that what we've been told as far as conventional dentistry and in many cases conventional medicine in general aren't leading to health. So would you mind talking a little bit about how you moved from a very mechanical, very tactical profession? You know, as a dentist, I'm well aware that it requires a lot of mechanized, focused, a lot of repetition, a lot of mechanics, really. And there isn't a whole lot of room for creativity or the ability to challenge things that we've been taught. How did you move from there into a space now where you are using energy and emotion and intuition to help people with their dental health?
Yes, and thank you for inviting me. Actually, it started from the beginning. When I started working as a dentist, I realized that cavities, that they didn't come in places that corresponded to bad brushing, and you could have you could see one tooth with a huge cavity, and then the one right next to it was completely healthy, and I saw a lot of things that didn't correspond actually to what I had just learned. And I also had a patient who, she had new cavities all the time. And one day she asked me, well, why do I get all these cavities? And I did what I could do as a dentist, ask her, how much sugar do you eat? And she said, well, none, I don't really like the sweet taste. And I could hear that she was sincere. So she actually had a lot of cavities without eating sugar. And I also had another patient. He had really bad periodontal disease. And he also asked me, well, how come my teeth are so bad? My wife, she doesn't brush her teeth longer than I do, but her teeth are perfectly healthy. So what could I tell him? Nothing. And then when I had been a dentist for 10 years, I suddenly had two new cavities myself. And I only had two cavities when I was 15 and 16. So why these new cavities? So at that point, I knew that I had to find a new explanation that also explained what I saw in my patient's mouth. So that started a whole new journey. And I had a new friend, and he told me, he was a very wise man, and he told me that you have bad teeth when you bite your tongue instead of biting back. And at that point, well, everything resonated with me, because when I had my new cavities, I was in a marriage that didn't work no longer. But in my family, you could always read between the lines that getting a divorce was shameful. So I bit my tongue and I stayed in the marriage until I didn't. So when my friend said that, this became my new working theory, that actually emotions can affect your teeth. And when we tell that to people, oh, your teeth are affected by your emotions, it may sound crazy, but all parts of our body is influenced by our emotions. That's not a new thing. But what is the main problem with science is that it separates body and mind. You know, either you are physically ill or mentally. So you cannot separate body and mind. It's a unit. So when we begin to acknowledge that, then there are so many new perspectives. And when I first realized this, I could sense that this was my new way of working. This is what I wanted to do. And I started telling my patients, only some of them, the ones that I thought could maybe be open to this perspective. And some of them thought it was fantastic, but most of them was just fix my teeth.
Yeah.
So this were very frustrating times for me. And I went to work every day and I had to lie to my patients. I had to tell them, oh, you need to floss. I didn't believe in flossing anymore. Or you need to use fluoride. I didn't believe in fluoride anymore. So when I was really like fed up with working as a dentist, then something happened to me and I lost my left thumb. So this was my way out. So then I could concentrate on doing this and write books. I wrote my first book in 2012. So that was a little about me.
Good, thank you. And you have actually come up with a map of emotions as they're related to the different teeth, correct?
No, it's more like areas of life.
Okay. And do you want to talk a little bit about how you came up with that map and how you've been able to use it to now assess your clients and assess people in general? Because in conventional dentistry, and I'm sure you would remember this from your time in that world, you know, you're using x-rays, you're using periodontal charting, you're using clinical notes, you're using all of these very science-based or evidence-based metrics, but oftentimes it doesn't actually yield health for the patient or even get to the root cause or the actual reason why they would have developed whatever disease they have.
Exactly. Well, actually, I was, I heard a palm reader on television that told that fingers correspond to certain areas of life. And I was, oh, I think teeth do the same. And then I started to dive into it and I used my intuition. And I don't really remember how I came up with everything. I think it's maybe 20 years ago or something like that. But I made a chart, and what I realized today, because when you talk about a palm reader, then somebody will, you know, they don't believe in palm readers. So what I realized is that we are not born with teeth. We get teeth like in specific age, when we're a specific age, then we get the teeth that actually gives us access to new energy. So there's a lot of wisdom in how old are we when we get the specific teeth. So the two front teeth in the lower mouth, they are about the outgoing force. And when we are babies, one of the first things we can do besides eating and sleeping is that we can start to move forward. In the beginning, we crawl and then we start walking and running. And then when we get the upper front teeth, they are about the expressing power. And when, if we don't have them, we cannot say the words so precisely because they just help the tongue to form the words. And then when we are a little older, and then we begin to be able to do more, then the laterals are coming. And the canines, they are about willpower. And when small children get their canines,
yeah,
it's like, well, I have this new energy. I'm going to see what can I do with it. Of course, they want to know what can I do with this power. And later on, when we are around 6 years old, we start to get the new teeth. In the Danish system or the European, we count from the middle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes.
Which is a very good system because it shows in pair how they correspond to the same.
Yes.
So the number 6 is the first molar, and the one we get when we're around 6 years old. And this is about, in the lower mouth, it's about going to school, being educated, and about our work life. And in the upper mouth, it's about being useful, being the helper. And I think you agree with me that the number 6 is the most drilled, the most root canal treated, the most pulled out tooth.
Yes.
All of them. And it's because it's so difficult to balance this energy, being a helper without abandoning ourselves completely, being at work without really selling out of ourselves.
Yes.
Many people like go to work and they hate their job, but they stay there because I know what I have, I don't know what I can get. So many people compromise, and every disease in the teeth, in the mouth, is about not expressing your needs. When you put aside your needs, then something happens with your teeth or with your mouth. So it's a good thing to be kind and to be serving, but when you abandon yourself and your own needs, then it will cost a lot. Do you see that also?
I do. I mean, to what you said about tooth number 6 being the most drilled or restored tooth in the mouth, I think most dentists know that and they tell themselves, you know, they give some kind of quote unquote rational reason why, you know, it's the molar that's been in function for the longest. It's taking a lot of force for chewing. You know, it's hard for kids to get back there and take care of it as it's coming in. You know, there's all of these reasons that we learn and we internalize and then tell our patients and tell people. But I would agree that absolutely, even in my own experience of not necessarily up until I found your work relating teeth to emotions, but even just relating teeth to what is happening in other parts of the body. So, you know, the teeth in my experience are like little organs in and of themselves. Each of our teeth have a nervous system. Each of our teeth have a circulatory system and a blood supply. Each of them have a lymphatic system, which, you know, takes lymph and pulls toxins from inside of the tooth. So they're each these small living systems in our mouth, and they are physically in all of those ways linked to other parts of our body. And then even on an energetic from an energetic perspective, there are lots of meridian charts that link teeth to various parts of the body just through the meridians or through the, you know, electromagnetic energy channels in our body. Because absolutely, when you have things that are stored emotionally and energetically within the body, and there's a clear line between your teeth and the rest of your body, or your mouth and the rest of your body, you know, the fact that we haven't really taken the time to investigate those two things, like put those two things together, I think now is a time, as I said earlier, because I think people are realizing that the answers they've been getting up until now haven't been overly helpful for them in realizing health. But even if you wanted to go beyond that, developing a form of, you know, superhuman health, as I would say, where you're just functioning at like the highest potential you can. And I don't think we're seeing that en masse right now, but we are seeing large groups of people who are looking for that. And I think this understanding that you've cultivated and that you're developing and you're now sharing with other dentists like myself and just with your clients and, you know, your past patients, we're creating a field now, this knowledge field, where hopefully dentists and dental health professionals, but even just on an individual level, people can understand a little bit more clearly how what is happening in their mouth and what is happening to their teeth relate to what has happened to them overall emotionally and what else is going on in their body. I have heard you say in past interviews that you now use a pendulum in some of your diagnosis. So could you talk a little bit about how you use that and what you're getting from that that you were not getting from more conventional ways of looking at your patients and diagnosing people?
Well, it's two completely different ways of working, right? As a dentist and what I do now. I went to a therapist, I think maybe 25 years ago, and she was using a pendulum. And I was, well, what is that? And can you teach me? And she did. And I have a chart with emotions. And when I want to ask my pendulum, if you were my client and you say, well, I have this, and then I would ask my pendulum, which emotion do you need to address? And then I take my pendulum and my chart, and then it just guides me. It tells me right away what is going on here. And the main emotion or the main emotions that are making people sick now and have had done for the last 5 years is when you follow duty instead of desire. Duty is the main reason why we get sick now. And this is so interesting because earlier on, we were very much driven by duty. That was the good thing, to be driven by duty. But today, it's not good anymore. We have to be driven by desire. We have to work from the heart in all aspects. And some people may think, well, that's very selfish to be doing that. But actually, is it? No, if everybody in our society works from the heart, then they don't have to work that much. They don't need to be stressed. They don't need to be depressed. And the quality of their work will be so much better. So I think this is what it's about, that we all can raise the vibration of the earth by working from the heart.
Right.
So this was the most common thing that I pendulate now. Is do you go by duty or desire? And the other one is like carrying people. Many people, they carry their members of the family or their colleagues or their clients. And that's too heavy a burden. And we need to put people down, and they have to be able to carry themselves, right?
Yes.
But almost every session that I have, almost every client is this about duty or desire. And it is worldwide. And I even had a horse client some years ago, and it was the same.
Wow.
So it's universal. We need to be driven by desire.
And when you...
And doesn't it make sense in your own life? Can you sense it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think in, I would say the last, very slowly over the last 10 years or so, and then it feels like much at a much faster pace over the last, as you said, 5 years in my own life, I do feel like neglecting or even ignoring the parts of you that feel enlivened to do something, that feel fired up to do something, that feel impassioned to do something. When you ignore those parts, it's like all of that emotion and energy that you're suppressing, it still rises as something else. So it rises as, you know, in many people, dis-ease. So disease in their body, stress or emotional disease where you feel unsettled or you just don't feel good, or you feel like you are giving away your life force. And in my personal case, I felt like I was trading my life force for something that, you know, I couldn't even really see a fair trade there. I was just giving and giving and giving, and I felt depleted, like I wasn't really getting much back. And I think lots of people are in that place and maybe don't necessarily have that perspective about it. But the idea of living from a place of desire, and I think especially for women, because we have been put into these boxes that don't at all fit how we are biologically and energetically and spiritually meant to work, we are now just feeling tired. Like we're feeling exhausted, we're feeling tired. And, you know, to say that we should be doing the exact same thing every day, which is essentially our the workforce that most of us find ourselves in, it really goes against our biological rhythm. Like our biology cyclically and hormonally resets every, on a cycle for most women, that's every 28 to 34 days. So our level of, and our bandwidth for holding different levels of energy, different levels of focus, different levels of consciousness and awareness, that is cyclical and it fluctuates, you know, every month. Whereas men are driven on a essentially a 24-hour testosterone cycle. And that is how our workforce was built. And as women, we've been put into that. And many of us are highly functional at it, but I think feel depleted, like we're trading something, or we're supposed to be trading something, but we're not getting anything back. We're giving a lot and not getting back what we thought we were signing up for. So I think the idea or the realization that you've come to where living from a place of desire is really the only way that you see for us collectively to move forward and, you know, create different systems, create beautiful systems that honor each of us and allow us to produce more and work less, because we're working from just a different frequency, a completely different energy that we're putting out there and that ultimately you'll receive. I think that is just so powerful that you've been able to see that in your work with clients and in assessing what's happening in their their mouths because it's entirely different than what, you know, I would say pretty much any other dentist on the planet is doing.
Yes. Yes. I haven't met anybody else, and I didn't meet you before.
Yes.
So very, it's very special to be speaking with another dentist. Well, I'm not a dentist anymore. I had to give up my license because it's not allowed to work like this.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And do you feel as though with your work now, that you're able to access the root of people's problems and, you know, you're not seeing them come back over and over again, trying to solve the same problem?
Actually, I mostly only see people once.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes I get feedback that the tooth pain stopped or the decay stopped or, but actually I like that I have people once and I tell them how I see it, and it really is the root cause. Before we spoke, a woman in, I think she's in her 70s or 80s, and I have seen her before, but I think it's 5-6 years ago. But now her daughter died last year, and she really took care of her daughter, and some part of her feel guilty that her daughter died, that she couldn't save her.
Okay.
And now she has 3 teeth with what we call a chronic inflammation around the root tip, and the dentists say, well, you need to have 3 teeth pulled out. But
yeah,
I don't think she needs to have these teeth pulled out. I think she needs to work on the shame that and the guilt that she feels around her daughter's death. Right. How would she be able to save her? And it was not her responsibility. And maybe she knew that in her head, but in her body and the system believed that she was responsible.
Right.
And even if she had these teeth pulled out, then it would not change her, right? She could still feel guilty. And what would happen to the other teeth? And so I told her not to have them pulled out. And, oh, no, I said, if it feels right for you to have them pulled out, then have them pulled out. And then she said, well, I'm very scared of having them pulled out. And then I need to have a denture, and what will happen to the other teeth?
Right.
So I don't tell people they need to do this. Dentists say, you need to have this pulled out. You need to have this done. But for me, I tell people to follow up what feels right for them. And if, you know, there's a lot of fear. Dentists, they also put fear in people. Oh, if you don't have this pulled out, then the infection can spread in the bloodstream and attack the heart or the brain, and then you will die. And there's a lot of fear around that. But then I tell people, well, I worked as a dentist for 25 years, and I never once did I have my patient die from this or having their heart attacked. And what I really want to tell people that we have misunderstood the role of bacteria. People believe that bacteria will attack and will make your teeth bad and your heart. But bacteria, what job do they have? Why are bacteria here? They are here to break down dead or dying tissue. So if you have dead or dying tissue, or you have some fruit or something that is dying, then of course there will be bacteria or mold or something that will come and help break down this tissue that is no longer living. So why do we believe that bacteria will attack any part of our body? I think it's so misunderstood. So I tell that a lot. And I also tell that what I realize is our teeth are healthy. That's a natural state. Yeah. We learn that from we get our first tooth, then we need to brush it. Otherwise, bacteria will make it bad. So we have to, we learn that we have to earn having healthy teeth. But we have healthy teeth.
Right.
That's natural state. So if they are not healthy, it's because we are creating the disease by our behavior.
Yes.
And then we can, when we realize what we do, when I put my needs in the background, then we can change that. And then our teeth will return to their natural state and become healthy again. Do you see it also that way?
I do. Yeah. And I do, to what you were saying about the woman you were speaking with who said that she was fearful about taking the teeth out. I often have people ask me, well, have you ever seen anyone with a hole in their tooth reverse the hole, like where the hole just fills back in? And I think understanding energetic principles, and I talk a lot with people that are sort of on the same page with these things. I talk a lot about the biofield and just understanding that we have this almost like an energetic realm that is a combination of all of the energy fields within our body, including subtle energy fields like the emotional field and the spiritual or astral fields that encompass who we are. And I think if you have issues that have sort of clouded those fields and then created disease in your body, like for example, a cavity or a hole, and then you have not dealt with those issues or understood what caused the cavity in the first place, and then on top of it, you have fear around perhaps, you know, this hole is going to get bigger, my tooth is going to start to hurt, I'm going to need, somebody's going to tell me I need a root canal or I need it pulled out. Like if there is a fear around those things and there's a small part of you who still hopes that this just fills in and heals itself and seals itself off, your field is operating from a place of fear or an energy frequency that isn't conducive to just healing spontaneously. So for most people who have developed a hole or a cavity, and especially if it's a large one where the dysregulation has been there for a long time, and it's maybe been the cause has been ignored or any attempt to deal with it has been suppressed, then the field or your biofield that you're operating from is not vibrating at a frequency where healing and health are able to come in to play. And I think that is part of the reason why we don't see a lot of people who have, you know, a quote unquote large cavity or a large hole in their tooth just spontaneously fill it in. It's partially there's a physical part to it, but I think even deeper than that, the energetic or the emotional part that would allow that person to develop the cavity and then understand how that happened and heal that circuit doesn't get fully completed, or oftentimes doesn't get fully completed. And so we don't see that full process of health, disease, and then back to health in a lot of people. I think your work is going to help make that more accessible to people. But overall, when people ask, do you see cavities just heal? Oftentimes, I mean, there are, you know, arrested decay is something every dentist is aware of. We all learn that cavities do sometimes stop, or at least don't progress, and you develop that hard, dark dentin. But when the disease has progressed to a certain point, not seeing that heal doesn't mean that there is no emotional component to healing, or that, you know, the spontaneous healing of that isn't possible. In my opinion, I think it is. I just think that we're now developing a path where we can take people along to get to a place where they can do that. They can heal things that have progressed to a state where, you know, conventionally you'd be told, take this out or do a root canal, or, you know, do something more invasive or more drastic to get to a place of health. And I think if you're scared, then sometimes those options are better for you, because your field of fear isn't going to help you heal otherwise.
Exactly.
So do you ever recommend more conventional forms of dental treatment if you sense that somebody perhaps is in that place where they may or may not be able to fully take on whatever suggestions you're giving them, if they're more energetically based approaches?
Well, I always tell my perspective, and then I say, well, if you fear that it will progress, then go with the dentist, what the dentist plan.
Right.
And around healing cavities, there are two things I want to tell.
Yeah, sure.
I have two cavities. I discovered them 10 years ago, something like that, on an x-ray, and it's my number 7.
Okay.
The ones in front of the wisdom teeth, which I don't have anymore because they were just pulled out when I was in my 20s. Yes. And I realized that I had two cavities right in the back of the teeth, just above the gum line. And I could just feel, well, I'm not going to have them drilled. And so I make this experiment with myself. And, you know, sometimes I have been, are they getting bigger, or will I ever get a toothache?
Yes.
But, and then one day I was courageous and put a mirror in, and I looked and I could see them. And today I know that, well, I still have my cavities, but they're not progressing. And if they are, these teeth are about my authority. And when I'm in a place where my authority is not respected, then they will start, the cavities will start progressing again.
Okay.
And the teeth are telling me. And since I don't have my wisdom teeth, then food cannot be stuck there. Food stuck between your teeth is the most common signal or symptom from your teeth that, hey, watch out, something is going on here. So my teeth have found another way of signaling, and they get sharp. It's not that they change their form, but suddenly they can tear my tongue. So it's really not a nice thing. And I remember having this maybe 12 years ago, that my teeth were sharp, and I was, oh, why is this happening? But I didn't know at the time. But today I know that when they start being sharp, then, okay, I need to address this, my authority not being respected. And then I remove myself from the situation, and then they stop being sharp. So my teeth are very specific in telling me I need to make changes. And I don't think that my teeth are so unusual. I think this is what everybody's teeth are doing. So this was what, the one thing I wanted to tell you. And the other one is, I had a client a few weeks ago, and he was a young man, 22 years old, and he had some very huge cavities, and he had just been to see the dentist, and she suggested very expensive treatment. And I asked him, what symptoms do you have? And he said, none. No symptoms. I was, oh, how can he has had such big cavities without the symptoms? But then I realized that he had sent all the X-rays that the dentist had taken, and there was also an X-ray that was 1.5 year old, where he had a wisdom tooth pulled out. Very suddenly he had pain. And when I looked at that, I could see two cavities, and they were the same size. So in this 1.5 year, they had not progressed. Okay. And they were huge 1.5 year ago. And the dentist at the time was not observant about these cavities, were only pulling out the wisdom tooth. But when we talked about his life, then in 2019, he was in a car accident, and he went into coma. And before that, his life was very fast, and he, you know, he had to be stopped. And I believe that in the time that led up to the accident, it was that time that the cavities were formed. So probably from that time, they had not developed, they had not progressed. So I told him that if it feels right for you, then don't have anything done to them. And he said, well, okay, what if they progress? And he had a little fear around it. So I think, what if you have fear that they will grow bigger and you will have tooth pain, then of course you should have them fixed. So this is two examples from real life.
Yes. So do you feel as though, and I think it's this way with a lot of things in our body, we ignore the signs, or sometimes it's not even that we ignore, we're just not trained to look for them, and then you become desensitized to it. You don't even realize your body is giving you signs, like you're almost numb to it. Do you believe that people, if they were trained or they were taught to look for the signs in their mouth? You'd mentioned that your teeth have a sharp feeling when they're trying to signal something to you. Do you think this is happening for people in different ways overall, and that it would make sense to train people, or at least alert them to the fact that there are changes or sensations happening in your mouth to give you a signal, not necessarily to tell you you need a dental procedure, you need dental treatment, but there is something going on that you do need to look at?
Yes, I really want to teach people how, well, I call it the secret language of teeth. And it's only a secret that, because nobody
knows about it.
Yes. Yes. And a few years ago, I was interviewed by, maybe you saw me there, Will Bracker, mm-hmm. An English astrologist. Yes. And in the comments, many people wrote, oh, I had a root canal when I was in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
So the body was screaming at them at that part.
Right.
So how I see things is that you don't sense the disease, but you sense the symptoms. And symptoms is the body's language, the body's trying to signal to you that something is going on here. So every symptom in the mouth is an indication that you should take care of this. And as you say, not going to the dentist, or at least people can go to the dentist if they prefer that. But if they prefer not to have their teeth drilled or pulled out or root canal, then it's much better to understand what the teeth are telling you. And they are actually like our best friend. They are very honest. And even if a tooth is root canal treated, it can still send you signals. It can still tell you, you know, as we talked about, it's mostly the number six that is root canal treated. And when you are offering your help to somebody, and really if you took the time to realize, do I have the energy for that, or do I even want to? If you don't do that, then maybe your tooth will say, hey, and send you pain or a fistula or another signal, another symptom.
Yes. I mean, I think this is really interesting from the perspective of, you know, as a dentist, I'm sure you and myself as well have seen patients, as you've just said, who had a root canal, who have pain continue after the root canal, or who have issues with that tooth after the root canal. And really the solution that we have in conventional dentistry is either you take that tooth out or you redo the root canal. So you redo the procedure that was supposed to fix this that didn't fix it.
Yes.
And I think if we understood that the teeth are part of a whole system in your body, and that they're giving constant feedback and connected to this energetic system. And even when a root canal is done, as you said, the tissue is removed, like the nerve tissue, the blood supply, the lymphatic tissue is cleaned out of it. But it is still attached to the energetic channels within the rest of the body. And there are all of those channels exist on either side of the tooth, assuming the other teeth are still there. And so I don't think we can to just look at things so physically and relegate disease to such a physical cause. Even in this example, I think most dentists have a sense of, you know, these root canals don't always work the way we tell people they're supposed to work. They don't always remove the pain or the quote unquote infection the way they're supposed to. So is there a different reason that these procedures aren't working or aren't giving people what we say they're going to give them? And I think this, what you're speaking to, you know, the honesty of teeth, or the messaging that teeth will give you, is a part of understanding that, you know, these teeth are, they're sending us messages. They're talking to us, and we have to learn how to and recognize how to listen to them. And I think the experience of a lot of dentists where you recognize that you're doing something and you're not necessarily getting the outcome for the person that you thought you were going to get. And there's probably a reason in that. And I think what you've just said, that teeth are very honest and always giving us feedback. And yes. So if our patients aren't necessarily able to identify that, at least if more dentists understood that there are different reasons for some of these issues that we see, I think it would just help bring a deeper understanding to, you know, are the things that we're doing effective? And if they're not effective, is there a different route that we could start taking for people so that we actually get people to a place of health and, you know, functioning well? You know, the story you just told about that young man who had a lot of cavities, but was seemingly not affected by them. You know, he wasn't having pain. He wasn't having trouble functioning. And for the last probably, you know, year and a half, 2 years, had he not been told that these issues existed, likely would not have known that these issues existed. So sometimes we're doing things and it doesn't necessarily work the way we think it's supposed to. And when we do nothing, people are no worse off. So I think that there's like this irony in that we need to start looking at things a little differently and really opening ourselves up to the idea there's a different way of thinking around these things, around disease.
Yes, and actually today I wonder why most dentists don't question science. I mean, it's right in front of them, right? Every day, they work, they can see signs that this is not due to bad brushing, bad hygiene. And if they ask the patients about their sugar, how much sugar intake do you have? Then within one day, they would realize, well, sugar has nothing to do with it. But I think it's getting worse.
Yeah,
actually, I think it's like dentists are moving further and further away from wisdom. You know, when I studied to be a dentist, then we learned that you have cavities. There are three factors, and one is sugar, the other one is bacteria, and the third is the individual. And I think they have changed the individual to time.
Yes.
Isn't that correct? Today you say it's like time is a factor. If you have sugar and you have bacteria, it's just a matter of time when you have cavities. But in fact, some people never have cavities, even though they don't brush very well, and they might even eat a lot of sugar, but they don't get cavities. And I think putting the individual factor into this is wise. You know, some people they smoke, and they smoke for 80 years, and they never get lung cancer or anything. And how can we explain that? It must be individual. Some people, they have lung cancer, maybe smoking for a few years, and it's a smoking that causes it. But you cannot say, well, if you smoke, then you will naturally get a disease. It's not like that. It's individual, right? And why did this change? Why did they put time instead of the individual? I think that's very unwise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the idea that bacteria and sugar cause a problem is it's so ingrained in dentists and people in general. Like, I think even the general public tend to believe that if they've gotten a cavity, they'll link it to, you know, maybe I was eating too much sugar, too much candy, chocolate, or I wasn't brushing properly, I wasn't flossing properly, and therefore too much bacteria built up. And those two ideas are so strongly ingrained in people now. I would agree with what you said earlier that bacteria, I mean, our mouths naturally have bacteria in them. Like whether you brush or floss or not, there's 700 yes. different species of bacteria just living in there normally. You know, trillions and trillions of different bacteria. And to think that you have to brush them away and clean them away and that's the only way that you can maintain health, it doesn't really, when you think about it that way, it doesn't really make a lot of sense or even align with what would seem healthy because, you know, like you said, your teeth come in, they erupt healthy. And your mouth yes. has all of this bacteria in it when it's healthy. Like a healthy mouth will have all of that. So yes. do you find it hard or have you had trouble getting people past the idea that bacteria and sugar are causing their problems, or are they generally more open to other ideas when they come to you and they seek some of your assistance?
Well, people, they normally come to me and they have known about me or my teachings for quite some time.
Okay.
It's very seldom that people come without knowing a lot about what I say. And if I told everybody about this, then maybe most people will say, I don't believe this. And I, you know, I like to share this and I have a dog. And sometimes when I walk in the forest with my dog and I meet people I don't know, And then if I have a chance, and I will tell them about this. I've done that so many times. And actually, most of them say, well, that's logical. Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have also met people who get, you know, I can see that they don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
And, of course, because we are so indoctrinated in this old way of thinking. So I most often have clients who know about my teachings, and I'm not cheap. It's not cheap to come to me, and that I only want people who are ready for this. I don't want to convince.
Yeah.
anybody about this because it's a waste of time to try to convince people.
Yes. Yeah.
If people prefer to believe in bacteria and that they are attacked by bacteria and this is so unfair, and if people want that, if people are not ready to take responsibility, then I don't want to be the one telling them. It's up to them.
There is an idea, and I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, that inside of the tooth, there's fluid that moves through the tooth. It's called dentinal fluid, and it moves through the dentinal tubule. So it goes from the inside of the tooth or the lymphatic system, so inside to outside. And there were some researchers who they published a book. Lenora was one of them. And I believe he was a cardiologist. And the other was a dentist. And I can't remember his name now. But they worked together for many years doing research on the link between dental health and overall health. And one of the papers said that when you have a blockage or a lack of fluid flow, and to me, I look at that as flow in general. When you have a blockage of the flow of energy moving the way it's supposed to, so from the inside to the outside of the tooth, that tooth becomes more susceptible to disease or to cavities. And so I think that idea, you know, this was published 50, maybe even now 60 years ago, and they weren't necessarily talking about emotions, but I think we can link the two. And even just to say that when your energy or the flow of what should move naturally and easily through your body, and in this case, through your teeth, doesn't happen, that's when you become more susceptible to disease. And I think even from that perspective, that's maybe more accessible for people to understand, because it might sound more familiar. And definitely for dentists, it's something that perhaps they would have come across at some point in their training. But it is funny. Like, it does seem a little bit comical that we consider that our emotions have no impact on what's happening in our mouth and what's happening to our teeth. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but because of that indoctrination, as you said just now, of the ideas of sugar and bacteria and bad habits, we, instead of just looking at things that seem pretty reasonable and seem logical if you think them through, we kind of, en masse, we believe these stories about other things that cause the problem. Yeah, and I think the system, like the educational system and the tools that you're given, it sounds like whether you graduate in Denmark or you graduate in North America, that the toolkit that you leave school with sounds like it's relatively similar. So, you know, regardless of where you are, you only have, you know, you've got a limited amount of things that you can offer people and a limited number Yes. of ways that you're able to see a problem. Do you feel that now you're no longer doing the dentistry, like you're no longer working mechanically in people's mouths, and you're using this much more holistic, energetic approach, which takes the whole person and their life into consideration? Do you feel in yourself more aligned? And do you feel like you're working in truth now, as opposed to what you felt before, where you were working in greed?
Yes, I remember being quite fearful when I was working as a dentist, because you have the responsibility for their teeth. And I felt it was a very heavy burden to have responsibility for their teeth, because of course sometimes you miss something, right? And today, you know, when I see people only once, most often only once, I give them the recipe for living a more healthy life, a more nurturing life. And then it's up to them if they want to make changes. And I don't work very much. Well, when I worked as a dentist, it was like, whoa. We have to work fast, and the next patient will come in a few minutes. And so
yes,
I don't have clients every day. And if I have, I only have two. And I cannot have more than two. And it's very fulfilling. And I talk about being in your greatness. And when I worked as a dentist, as I said, I was fearful. But today I know exactly what to say, and I feel that I'm in my greatness, and I'm the best version of myself when I have clients, or when I give a lecture or something like that. So that's really me. This is what I came here to do.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. I think when we realize what we're supposed to be doing rather than what we should be doing, and then we can make that align for ourselves. So, you know, I know you were in a somewhat forceful way, you were taken out of your dental practice, but you've now found the reason why you were taken out of practice. You know, you've found the reason that you are supposed to be here and the things that you're supposed to be sharing with people. And I just think that's so beautiful. I think that's what we're all here to do. And unfortunately, not everybody gets to do it. Not everybody finds that for themselves. So I think it's really inspiring. And I like hearing from people who are making that happen for themselves and are just creating different lives than they had. And in your case, you know, I think what you're doing is you're actually paving the way for a different system of dentistry. And there is holistic dentistry and there is biological dentistry. Like, there are people who practice in those realms, but those areas don't necessarily remove the need for tactical or mechanical work on the teeth. And what you're doing is removing that. You know, you're empowering people to start seeing how they are creating the symptoms or the disease processes that are showing up in their teeth, and you're allowing them to change that for themselves. And that is not only empowering for that person, but as I said earlier, my belief is that if you're familiar at all with morphogenetic fields, you're creating a field of energy in the dental realm and in dental health where there's a new understanding. And right now it might only be you. I haven't heard of another dentist doing it, but you know, I do believe that more and more people, whether it's other dentists or just people looking for other options to optimize how they function and how their dental health shows up in their mouth, you're creating this field of knowledge for people. And that is just such a powerful place to operate from. And I think that's why you feel as though you're in your greatness when you're speaking to your clients and you're talking about these things. So I want to thank you for that, because there really, as far as I know, is nobody else that's sort of pioneering these thoughts within dentistry, and particularly dentists. Dentists are more often than not, they're busy drilling and filling. So to look at things from an energetic or an emotional or metaphysical perspective and see a person one time, as you said, more often than not, and almost never see them again, that model, it really isn't the model of dentistry, but it is a model of empowering people and self-responsibility and autonomy for our health. And that's what you're doing. And I just want to honor the work that you're doing and honor you for doing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That means a lot.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I will link in the show notes to this episode your website and the book that you have available. And on your website, you can access free materials, courses. So for anyone who's looking for more information about your work or more information about these ideas, there are a lot of resources there. So I just want to say thank you so much for spending this time here with me and for sharing your experience.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.